What is up, Bang Gang? This is Corey Vincent here with Video Game Bang, and the VGB crew just got back from the movie theaters, and we are ready to review Avengers Age of Ultron, and we are jamming as many spoilers in here as possible, so this is your warning. Do not listen to this podcast episode if you do not want to have the Avengers Age of Ultron spoiled. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Turn your ears away, because we are spoiling the crap out of this and reviewing it honestly on this week's... Second time's a charm. Welcome to Video Game Bang Quickies Edition, where we are talking about Avengers Age of Ultron. And as you heard in the pre-show, this is going to be chock-loaded with all sorts of juicy spoilers. So if you do not want to hear spoilers, do not listen to this podcast. Stop. Hit pause. Go about your day. Go watch the movie. Then come back. And then you listen to this so you can hear all of our opinions. Joining me on the show is, of course, the man with the hat, Aaron Carter.
I'm not even wearing a hat, but what's up, everybody?
Aaron is very tired, and he is a prolific voice or throat clearer outer.
No, the rapid change in temperature flared up my asthma. That's
oh, really?
What happened.
Should I have brought an inhaler for you?
No, I had it in my pocket the whole time.
Did you need mouth to mouth? All right, we're going to move forward.
Always got to make things weird. Always got to make things weird.
Too far.
We have a loaded... The bases are loaded, as they say, because we also have the most annoying movie watcher joining us, Eddie.
Thank you.
Good Lord, Eddie.
Because he talks the whole
Good Lord.
I heard you two people over.
Every time we had to hear Eddie's jokes and commentaries and hooplas. And
oh, yeah.
When I'm glad I was over there, then.
He had a... Chubby whenever they showed the Infinity Gauntlet. Yes, like we said, spoilers. If you say, oh shit, Infinity Gauntlet, turn off the podcast and come back to it later. Moving right along, our Marvel specialist in the house, David Andrew Ng. Sorry, David Ng.
Hello.
I'll edit that out.
Yeah,
he'll never do that. It's never true, guys.
So he's going to be...
Don't believe Corey.
He'll be the one bringing levelness and the facts in this conversation. And joining us also, David Webb.
What's up, everybody?
We got a pair of Davids.
Pair of Davids.
So we all saw the movie. It was, let's just go around. Initial impressions, Aaron Carter.
Sweet, bitter.
Sweet, bitter. Not bittersweet, but sweet, bitter.
That's what I'm going to go with.
So you're putting the sweet first and bitter at the end?
Yeah, because I really liked the whole thing.
The bitter was right at the
end
for him.
But see, the thing is, I didn't... It wasn't one of those things where it's like the very end, I'm like, oh, you know, that's crap. And then I'm done with it. It was something that kind of happened before, I guess, the overall end. And then I was just like, eh. Well, it's when Hawkeye died. Not Hawkeye died.
Hawkeye died.
We watched
But see, that's what they did with the director. They kind of foreshadowed as if Hawkeye was going to die.
They did.
They built a whole bunch of emotional attachment for you, you know, showing his family and stuff like that.
Finding out he has kids.
Yeah, finding out he has kids, one on the way. So they built it up like, oh, yeah, this guy is going to die.
Daddy's not coming home this time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they turn around and kill the non-developed character.
Yeah.
Eddie, what'd you think? Live up to your expectations?
Yes and no. I mean, kind of like Aaron just said, it was good, but... They could have stretched out a lot more of character development throughout the whole thing into more films. But overall, I mean, it was a good story. I mean, let's face it. The story was good. It was solid. It had, you know, that whole circular thought process to it. But yeah, it was good.
David Webb.
switching up on us. I enjoyed it. I can't think of a complaint right now. I think it was better than the first Avengers.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I think it's
a bold move.
That's a stretch.
That is certainly a stretch.
I think
bold.
Yeah, very few times do I say the sequel is better than the original, but I
Terminator. Did you see,
you say Terminator?
Hold on.
Just a few times. Just a few times.
Hold on. Did you see the first one?
You bastard.
David Ng.
I'm gonna agree with David.
Wow. The sequel was better than the first one?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I liked they did breeze over some character development, but that's okay with me because you're not going to have time to do that unless you do an individual movie for every single character.
Mm.
And realistically, the twins were never going to get their own individual movie.
No. Especially when you take their dad out of the equation.
But the thing is, I think that's what the problem was. I think if Fox doesn't own X-Men,
and they might have written
they get more in depth.
Well, yeah, we would have had Wolverine in this movie. This would be a whole different banana.
Yeah, if it wasn't separate like that.
The villain would have been Magneto if they had the rights to those.
True. Yeah. Yeah, true. Didn't they do that in the one of the Ultimates?
Ultimatum.
Yeah, that was a good one, too.
I just think it's a waste of characters. Because you know why I think as well that Fox is bad? Because Fox did it, and this is like a little scene of Fox. Because it's like they know we can't really do too much with these characters. What can we actually show? We can't call them mutants. Yep. It's their whole background right there.
Which in the movie they're called Enhanced.
Yeah. Enhanced. So it's like, so now I understand. So now it doesn't actually bug me as much that they killed him, because I understand they probably saw, well, if we even try to write this character, we're going to be writing down to off a cliff, because there's nothing more to go with him, because Fox owns the rest of
it. You'd have to invent a brand new backstory for all of them, which they already
So then, now, I still don't change my thing. It's still sweet bitter. That just means my blame is on Fox for screwing up.
It's always Fox's fault.
Oh, yeah.
And that sucks, though. That really sucks. Because I've never really read Avengers comic books, but I do know that the twins, you know, they're Avengers for some time. And
the originals.
They have stories within that, you know, whole, you know, team and stuff like that. But so you can't even play on that anymore, because it's like, well, one company owns it and the other company is, so it sucks.
Let's start at the very beginning. We get to start the movie with a pretty badass action scene. They're storming this base.
Exactly where the TV show left off.
Yeah.
Shield?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so I didn't see, I don't watch Shield, so.
Okay, so do you want spoilers on that one too?
Of course.
Okay, so the last episode of Shield, they raided a Hydra base and found out where Strucker's location was and where the spear was.
Yeah.
And then so they relayed that information to Hill, who's like, okay, yeah, we'll send the Avengers in. And so that's exactly where the movie picks
that's
up.
Her. That's awesome. Right
that's there. Cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so they did that.
Which
good
we
timing.
Were talking about beforehand. It would have been hilarious had the movie actually started with Maria Hill actually turning from a screen and then getting up. Because
that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, because it was like a video conference.
It was a video conference.
So who are you talking to? Nobody.
Awesome. So the first scene, they're storming a Hydra base to get the Loki's staff.
Scepter.
Or what are we calling it? Are we still calling it the scepter? Or is it the
scepter, spear?
Spear, whatever. So they're trying to get it. I thought the opening sequence until, like, Tony Stark started talking, it was like so animated. It reminded me of a cutscene in a video game.
It was very. But I mean, how
some
do you do this?
Some of those scenes with Thor really just looked like video game animation.
Like they really laid the CGI in pretty heavy for that one.
Okay, so
like with the motorcycle.
That was
montage or
awful.
Little thing with.
Wait, that wasn't real.
No.
What the hell, Eddie?
Bursting bubbles all around here.
Sorry, Santa Claus is fake. There's no tooth fairy.
All the
we're just spoiling everything today.
There's no Easter bunny.
Animation though on the final battle, so I don't know why the first one looked that way.
Maybe as our eyes adjusting.
Well, no,
part one or part two, it was just maybe it would look better in IMAX.
Well, I think it was because of the way that they wanted to do the camera. They wanted to do the camera kind of flying. And then, like, coming in and catching one person and then catching another person.
Or maybe...
It was the whole opening sequence.
I think maybe it's more along the lines of to not really take as seriously the first fight scene, because the main one they really want you to focus on is the one at the end. So the first one was a little bit more campy. It was a little bit more, almost like a playground kind of deal
for
them.
Hey, we're back.
Yeah,
like,
we're just, you know, we're having fun because, I mean, they're all talking to each other. They're all having a good time while they're, like, literally killing people and destroying people and doing all kinds of stuff. But I think they did it in that way just to make it seem like, hey, just to let you know, this is this easy for these guys to do this.
We're very not shy on killing people either.
Yeah, death was a big thing in this one.
I mean, I could hear, like, necks break and stuff like that from Captain America. I'm like, I've never heard that before.
Yeah. It makes me wonder how a Justice League movie is going to even...
You can't do a Justice League movie like that.
Like, how are they going to compete?
All their big characters don't kill.
Yeah.
I love the fact that this is Disney owned Marvel, and there's always that stigma of it's going to be too Disney, and the opening line of the movie is shit. That was perfect.
The thing is, when I heard that, I just thought, well, there's the only cuss word for PG-13. And
no, it was not.
Really,
I think they said shit again, didn't they? Or
and Captain America said, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Bitch and an bastard. Ass. Yeah.
No F bombs, though, right?
No F bombs.
PG 13.
Which would have probably bumped
but
it.
But still,
yeah.
For,
I think you can get one.
Is this this got to be maybe. The only Disney movie that starts off with shit.
Well, starts off, yeah.
Actually, the first word. The first word of the actual movie itself is shit.
That was cool. And then Captain, and then it kind of, yeah, then it turned into the whole, that was a good reoccurring joke.
I like that, how it was reoccurring. Yeah, that was very good.
Cap doesn't like that language.
The movie doesn't skip on any of the comedy. Like, it definitely has different bits of comedy all around it.
We'll go around the room. Funniest scene we're going to talk about. Funniest for me was, of everything in that movie, was Don Cheadle. Just him. Him telling his story, and then it flops that he tells all those girls, and then the look on his face when the joke goes.
My story went.
Yeah, that was the
drop
funny.
The tank. Boom. Is this what you're looking for?
Yeah.
Oh, was that it? Oh, that, very, very good
it?
Story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was great. Aaron, do you remember any chucks? Any yucks that you got?
I don't know. They were all about even with me. Don Cheadle's definitely probably was, you know, one of the highlights because they kept playing it like when they didn't need to.
Yeah.
But it's still like it
the
hit
reaction
home.
He got was.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Gondo reacting to the sun in my hand. That was also hilarious. I like the Ultron when the Hulk. At the end, where
what did he say? Good Lord, or something like that.
Yeah, not again.
Yeah. Like that's good.
That was good. That was a way to end a boss fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would probably have to say, probably when, what is it? When Tony Stark says, Natasha, you and Banner aren't playing hide the zucchini or something.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the whole time from the opening romance I was thinking, oh, Hulk smash, all right. Hulk smash.
I'm like, how is he saying no?
Yeah. You know she's thought about it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Pounding.
There's worse ways to go, that's what she was talking about.
There's actually a College Humor video on that where this girl's dating Bruce Banner and she's literally trying to get him mad so that they can go into the bedroom.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
I've seen that.
So
too,
has this happened in the comics before? Natasha and Bruce Banner?
Not that I know
this
of.
This is
no.
unique to me.
Yeah, I've because, never seen it.
Because in the comics, usually they all have their own personal love interests, right? Or at least their interests.
Their own
have their own
title.
Comics. Yeah.
Yeah.
But since I think they just have to forge that thing, since now there's not no Black Widow movie.
Yeah. They're not going to try and make
yeah,
a Hulk
they're not
going
to try to. Yeah. And then they're not going to do a Hulk movie. So, yeah.
Yeah.
They got to forge these out of kind of nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it, though.
I was okay with it. It
felt all right.
It was done well enough. It didn't consume too much.
I'm glad
the movie.
It died off.
Right.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a vital part of the entire storyline.
I didn't need that. Yeah. I didn't need a love story within the team.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that kind of just died
Hide
off.
Hide the zucchini. That's awesome.
That was a good one.
Breaking up the
so
team,
much
Yoko.
Great stuff from that one. I don't know if this is one of your guys' favorites, but I'm going to jump in again. The fight between Hulk and
the elevator,
the bus, the Hulk Buster, where he pulled out the machine hand
and
started punching him in the face.
Go to sleep. I like how he just like scooped him up. He's like, "All right, buddy, let's take you home."
Oh, and then when he jumped on his back, he said, "Oh, you're riding the back, Banner. What a dick move!"
Oh yeah.
Dick,
that
so
whole
there you go
fight
too.
Was so good.
Hey, see, I didn't have
yeah,
to.
That was, that was definitely the best fight they've done for a Marvel movie.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
This
movie, I didn't want that to end.
This movie showed off a lot of the Hulk, and I love the Hulk. So I think that's why that bumps this movie up above the first one.
Do you think they'll do in the next one more of a, I guess, quote-unquote, sane Hulk? One that's more fluent and speaking.
I kind of got that feeling towards the end.
Yeah,
he
that's what I thought.
Turned off the monitor
and didn't turn back into Bruce.
Yeah,
he just kind of stayed home.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't even really catch on to that.
Yeah.
And he wasn't transforming. He was just
and he was calm. Yeah,
had conscious thought. As
I was actually really hoping that he would just like kind of say something to himself in the
in
Quinjet,
because
he didn't have any lines this time.
What
did
if
he?
Not one. He didn't say one thing.
He didn't say anything. Nothing.
No catchphrases for me to put on a t-shirt anymore, guys.
I know.
A lot of grunts and everything.
David Webb, funny. Or did we get to David?
Favorite
part. David
Ng.
Yeah.
I think
got?
The elevator. And during the Iron Man Hulk fight, they're fighting in this one lobby area, and the elevator comes down, and everyone just like sees them wailing on each other. So the one guy's just like,
clicking the button.
Like, what was that going to
do? Yeah.
Doors are closed. Cool. I'm safe.
David Webb.
Oh, man. There's so many. There's one that towards the end that I was cracking up, and I wish I could remember. But I know one of the first ones that stand out to me is Ultron cuts off the dude's hand. And he's like, I'm so sorry. It looks like it's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. It's fine.
It'll be good.
It's foreshadowing.
And then he instantly kicks the guy in the face.
Yeah.
So that was Ulysses' claw. That's definitely, now we know how he gets the claw.
Yeah.
Now he's got to be the villain for Black Panther, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Major villain, or is he just going to be a pawn?
He's definitely the major. But
how can you take a guy who just gets clowned in the Avengers and then
by
make him
Ultron,
a,
like this Earth destroying
still,
or Earth threatening
I see him being
force.
Like a sub guy, maybe a number two
to whom?
I would know, see Baron? A flashback scene where Claw's younger self tries to steal and is shut down by Black Panther Senior. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what his name is.
T'Challa.
Oh, T'Challa.
Or T'Chanka.
T'Chanka.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, I could see that.
But you don't see him being a major?
I don't see him being the main bad guy.
You saw the BET one, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you saw his whole method was to get a whole bunch of other villains.
They're not going to do that, though. They're not going to do that in this movie.
Why wouldn't he get, like, a team of people?
You're complaining about not developing characters enough, and you want to put together a team of villains?
A team of nobody. Look, the people that they put in that Black Panther one... I didn't know anybody besides the friggin' Juggernaut.
Yeah, okay.
He didn't have Zemo. He just had he had the French guy who was like some thief.
He had Machine Man, right?
He had...
They can get George St. Pierre from Avengers 1.
He had the radioactive man.
Yeah.
He had the knight. What's his name?
Oh!
Dark Knight? Black Knight?
Black Knight or whatever. And then he had Juggernaut. Yeah. These were like kind of just characters that don't need character development.
Juggernaut, bitch.
All you need to know is what they do and how they help his plan. That's it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's,
and now he's extremely rich, so he can buy all those people if he wanted
to. That's true.
Another funny part was the whole time it was like this like kind of back and forth between Hawkeye and Quicksilver, and then like there's a big fight scene going on. Quicksilver comes out of the blue, grabs his sister, and turns to Hawkeye. He's like, you know, try and keep up, old man. And then he takes off, and Hawkeye pulls out an arrow. He's like, nobody would know. And then he starts, like, walking off, like,
muttering,
like, you're a freaking quick bastard. Like,
they definitely made him a lot funnier.
More
three-dimensional.
They
really fleshed out the Hawkeye character.
Yeah.
They made him, he gained way more points for me.
Oh, man.
So get this, then. They fleshed him out.
And then kill him.
No. Not kill him.
Okay. You're just...
In the next movies, do you think it stays that way?
Fleshed out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it stays...
With Hawkeye?
I don't think it
stays... Infinity War and all that
stuff? I think it's going to be more like
a
Tony Stark thing. Like, they don't need to develop Tony Stark's character anymore in the Marvel movies because we already know who he is. They've done a great job of that. So he just gets to show up and make his jokes and we know everything. And he's awesome. He's he's my personal favorite character.
He'll keep making references to his family and things like that.
Yeah. But he'll keep the good things we liked, but we probably won't have to go back to his farm and all that stuff.
And then again, will he even be in those movies?
That might be a question though, because as far as when we get to Civil War, that could be part of kind of like Tony Stark's bargaining chip into getting Clint Barton to be on his side, saying, well, if you don't join my side, I'm going to tell everybody that you got a family and kids.
Nah, he's not going to do that.
No.
That'd be a dick move.
That'd be more of a thing where he's like, don't you want to protect those people that live?
I could see him doing
that's
that.
That's how he would get him on
but
his side.
He wouldn't
threaten.
So, moving past the first opening sequence, what do we get?
We get the first introduction to the twins.
The twins?
Yeah.
How do you think they were handled? I think the Olsen, Scarlet Witch, I think her accent was just not right.
It felt
like it came and went.
Yeah.
I
like their accents.
No, I thought Pietro Quicksilver's accent was fine. I had no problem with his acting.
He had like very few lines though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like he talked more than Scarlet.
His character development and lines were as quick as he was. They were just in and out. That's
yeah.
it.
And first. That was good because you know what the problem with the guy's name's Aaron Taylor Johnson. I really did not like him. I mean, I couldn't stand him in Godzilla.
Oh, I never watched Godzilla.
But because of the fact that he was the main character and he talked the entire time and his acting was just horrible because he was constantly talking at the same time. But in this one, like you said, his lines were quick, they were short, simple, and he let his actions do more of the acting than his actual words, which I thought was great because I thought he played a really good Pietro, and I'm super happy that he didn't talk, but I do have to agree, the Olsen girl, just her
accent. I don't see where
that was just so bad.
I don't see what they're going with her then.
Well,
like if it's the same thing, if I had the theory that since they couldn't go too much further with Quicksilver because of Fox owning, you know, mutants, basically.
Well, they won't flush out any of her past anymore. They'll focus on her future.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In the comics, she has that relationship with
Vision. Yeah, with Vision, yeah.
So they'll probably just do that.
They'll probably kind of do the whole Natasha Romanoff,
Bruce Banner. To me,
because Vision's going to play a huge part going forward.
Well, yeah.
He's got a circle towards the tail, and he's got an Infinity Gem on his forehead.
Yeah.
So he's going to play a part, and now they have
So Scarlet Scarlet Witch, basically, is what I'm hearing. Because they're only going to go up to a certain point with her and the Vision, and then it's just going to be new lore for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty awesome that they really did it. Besides just pulling the Avengers back together, it was awesome how they pulled back all of like the secondary characters and the sidekicks. So
to a bunch of nice cameos from other actors. That you see Falcon. In the movie.
I wish Cheadle, more fighting Anthony cameos.
Mackie, Haley Atwell even made an appearance. Yeah. Agent Carter.
Yeah, that was really cool.
I wish
although that was more of a flashback.
Like the War Machine fighting was, you know, coming in. That was cool. That was a little exciting moment. I wish they did like a Falcon as well. Kind of.
I wish Falcon had been there.
Oh, yeah. He didn't show up for that scene.
Well, they kind of alluded to that in the beginning when he's talking to Cap and he's saying, you know, how's it going? And he said, I wish you were out there. He's like, no, the avenging is your thing. I'm doing. I forgot what he said he was doing, but
he's looking for Bucky.
He's looking for Bucky.
Yeah. Oh, that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's on the search for
going dead ends or something.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson was back.
Sam Jackson was back.
Kind of useless.
He did his thing.
I mean, he did bring about the whole
character. He does what Nick Fury does.
He's a motivational speaker, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
But do you guys see him in, like, an Infinity War?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
As the strategist.
Someone has to... Someone has to...
Really, guys?
Someone has to man the carrier jet.
For the universe? Back. For the Battle of
someone
the universe?
Someone has to
Nick
pilot
Fury's
the,
gonna,
the cars and
you
the
underestimate Nick Fury's power, sir.
I think it's going to go... It's going to... Somebody else is going to step up.
Nick Fury's one of the most brilliant minds.
Not one of the Avengers, I don't believe. Some third party somebody's going to step... Because it's like...
Well, they're going to introduce Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
Then it's probably going
to
be him.
Yeah, it has
because
be
it's
him.
Like... Nick
in
Fury...
In the New Guardians?
New Guardians. Guardians 2 should introduce Adam Warlock, and then he'll come to Earth and rally Earth's defenses for Avengers.
Yeah, Nick Fury is like Earth. Like, hey, guys, you got to protect the planet. Hey, the planet's going to blow up. Protect it. Somebody else, for the, when they go into Infinity Wars, that's like, what, universe is in danger? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like, they're going to need somebody bigger than... Because Nick Fury is just, it's Earth stuff. When he gets out to space, he's like, just as in shock as everybody else is. Oh, crap, it's bigger than... This water and
it's Earth. On the
inside. Yeah.
You should read some of the new Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. Because in the comics, Nick Fury is actually in space with the Guardians.
Is he that new thing? That I got to see what it is.
All right.
You guys talk about it. I see what it is.
What do you guys think about Ultron as a villain and how they handled him in the film?
I have to say, David Spader, right?
James Spader.
I'm getting David Spade and James Spader.
You're surrounded by Davids. It's just
what that's what it is.
Yeah.
James Spader is just, he's just an intimidating type of actor. I mean, when he played on The Blacklist, when he does anything, his voice just has that intimidating feel. So when he stepped into that role of Ultron, I was kind of assuming, okay, it's just going to be all, you know, metaphors and, you know, looking down and this and that. But the way he played out as Ultron, kind of finding his own and doing that, I thought they played it really well.
Yeah, there was a lot of Spader haters out there when it first got announced, that, and a lot of people were upset with that casting.
Because they're stupid.
Why, though?
I was so stoked. He's got a great voice.
Yeah, he's got an amazing voice.
He does,
You could have, in my opinion, you could have just threw anybody into that friggin'
Essentially, they
could
have, because it's all CGI'd. He didn't need to do any actual body work, I don't think, for it.
And
well, he did have, like, if you look close when he was talking, they did give him, like...
They gave him
they
like
gave
his
him
mouth.
Lips.
Yeah, his mouth would actually
mouth and,
form
yeah,
shapes.
Lips and teeth.
I didn't like that. Even back when they first did the announcement trailer and they showed him talk and his mouth move, I always thought that was so useless.
It was
mouth
weird.
Moving is okay to me, but the lips were a little too much.
Yeah, if he just kind of opened and closed,
and
that'd be
teeth.
One thing.
It should have just been a giant like Ultron smile with a little light.
Yeah,
flickering.
And they
kind
of did that at the very end.
Yeah.
The,
The scene that everyone had seen a billion times, I'm sure, if you have been waiting for the movie where they're trying to lift the hammer and stuff, was pretty awesome. What do we think about Vision lifting the hammer, though?
So, as Corey just explained, when we are introduced to Vision, Vision is rallying everybody up to go and fight Ultron, and then all of a sudden you see Vision turn around and hand Thor his hammer, saying, let's go. So, just to explain.
I think that's what set me, like, cracking up, because the look on everybody's face was just like,
Wait, what?
Aaron, that's one of the few parts Aaron leaned over and said, fanboys are going to lose their shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they are. It's an overall good movie, but then there's those little tiny things that are like, those hardcore fans are probably going to be like, oh, Vision can never lift up the freaking hammer. And I mean, like,
well, it was a good symmetry.
I don't think he's done it in the comic books that I know of.
And I thought it was a really good segue from the conversation they were having before as far as, can we trust Vision? Can we believe in what you got?
Yeah,
hammer.
It's 100%, to me, the right move.
Yeah.
To like, because how do you convince all these people real quick that,
within 30 seconds,
yeah. So to me, it was the right move. But I could just see the fanboys.
Did they have a point? Because then what's funny about it is that they keep trying to justify it among themselves.
Oh, yeah, towards
Tony Stark and Captain America. So, like, if you put the hammer down in an elevator,
and the elevator
goes up,
is the elevator not worthy? And he's not even human. He's, you know, he's like a robot, so it doesn't even count, really.
No, because they've had aliens.
No, I mean, that's what they were saying. They were trying to make him feel better.
Also, too, whenever Vision actually uses it in combat for a second, he picks it up and hits somebody with it, and he's like, wow, that's pretty well balanced.
And it's like, well, you gotta have it balanced so you can have a heavy swing.
Yeah.
And I thought they were gonna go full no powers for the Vision and just have him like just some brute type of thing, but I like how they did him show him phase through things and use the laser in his
forehead.
I'm okay
with the laser thing. The phasing thing kind of bugged me because there was no explanation for that.
No, there was little explanation for a lot of things, though. And I think they just were like, well, this is just what the Vision can do. Yeah. He can phase through.
It also bugged me that Ultron had the ability to affect gravity.
Yeah, that was weird, too.
Did he?
Yeah. When they were riding on the cargo truck, he would lift up chunks of ground
to
mess up the car.
I was just pulling that off as maybe he just had like some sound waves push that part of the
That's how I was just
because it made a weird noise every time. It was like,
brrrr. He was able to control gravity.
It's like he's controlling the internet cabling underneath the ground.
With the asteroid thing, it was because of the vibranium, but that was before he had the vibranium body.
I thought it was thrusters for the... Those huge, giant thrusters.
The entire thing was made of vibranium.
Yeah, it used the vibranium core to keep the rock together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. David's our science guy, so that's what we get.
Science with vibranium, the fictional
metal.
I'm an expert. I have a degree.
Yep.
It's right here.
With vibranium.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
All fictional things. Vibranium.
Holds up a piece of paper.
Narwhals.
Narwhals.
Wow. So when they go fight Ulysses... S. Grant when they go back in time. That fight scene between Hulk and Hulkbuster was not Wakanda, right?
No, that was just an African country.
That was Africa.
Good. Well, I mean, I know they were talking about vibranium, Wakanda, then they went to this building, and I didn't notice or remember if it said where they were on the bottom. And I would have been super disappointed if that was Wakanda.
It said where they were on the bottom whenever they were doing the pan over of the ships.
They just mentioned Wakanda as that's where he got the vibranium.
Yeah.
And it took us how many years? 15 years to get Wakanda even mentioned?
No.
Did they mention it?
By name? Yes, by name. But they do show it in other movies.
They've alluded to it.
They've showed it in the Wolverine movie.
They showed it in Iron Man 1? 2? One of the ends. So whenever Tony is talking, or whenever Nick Fury is talking about the Avengers Initiative and he shows the map, it's marked off.
Oh, that's 2.
So it's 2.
That is 2.
Marked off. But by name.
But by name, no. Nobody's ever said Wakanda.
And he didn't even know how to say it.
He didn't even say it, yeah.
Yeah, Bruce Banner's like, Wakanda?
And then they all turned to Stark and they go, wait, I thought you said your dad got it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Yeah, it'll be, you'll see it, everybody, in the Black Panther.
17? 16. I think it's 17, right?
What?
Probably 17.
Black Panther?
And so then moving past that, they then get their asses kind of handed to them once they get their minds penetrated, which kind of, if I had to pick a part of the movie where I could have done without, it was probably all the fantasy dreams. They weren't doing it for me. Going back to see Romanoff's past, Thor, I think, was the most relevant because that's probably going to foreshadow Ragnarok.
Yes. Yeah. A lot. I'm definitely calling
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think as far as ScarJo and Cap, I don't see that adding anything to the movie or going forward.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Cap, but I think Scarlet kind of, they wanted to humanize her character more so that you could relate to the relationship between her and Bruce.
Yeah. And she really bust that information out that I'm sterile.
Yeah,
she did a little bit.
Yeah,
no did, periods. She might have to put like big old signs. It's one less thing I have to worry about.
From a movie standpoint, I see where they're trying to go with the character development and everything like that. Like, you're not going to get these single movies with everybody, so they're trying to pump as much information to you about these people and make you feel for these people in this 2-hour span that you have.
2.5.
Whatever. But it's just, I don't know. I'm more of the, like, I'd rather them take their time, which they're never going to do with everybody, but and like kind of get it.
They can't take too much time because already it's going to be, they got the movies planned out till 2020.
Well, I know. That's why I said they're never going to do it. But it's like,
gosh, 2021 is going to suck.
Is there anything that this movie did to make you excited for the future of the series? Or what specific thing makes you more excited for things to come, Aaron?
Only the Black Panther movie.
Out of
everything in the freaking movie. That's it.
That's all you're
because
excited for.
It didn't. I'm not really excited to see a Thanos just yet until Earth links up with space.
He's so wrong, guys.
That's
Thanos is the best part of the whole franchise.
No, I'm saying that's I'm not excited to see him, you know, in like little cut things until I see like a Guardian and
yeah, how they're going to merge those worlds will be interesting.
That's when I'll get
Guardians 2 going to do that, you think? Are they going to go to Earth?
Definitely possible. I don't know.
What they've said so far, what James Gunn has said, is that Guardians 2 is going to be more of a father type of storyline where apparently people are going to be either finding who their father is or finding their father figure or things of that sort. So,
and here's a thought, too. Thanos can go easily throughout the course of the rest of these movies, go out and assemble the rest of the gems and just have to go to Earth for the last one. And that could be how the thing starts. That could unite the two. He's coming to Earth to get that gem. Or maybe someone else finds it to try and preemptively get to it and goes to Earth and fights the Avengers.
Guardians
versus the Avengers for a minute or something. I don't know.
It's just, I think what's bothering me is how they're limiting. You're limiting yourself. Or not you're limiting yourself, but you're limited because of third party companies owning the rights to other stuff.
There's things missing. We're not going to get the Fantastic Four.
Look at it this way. For so long, we've complained about
Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. For so long, we've complained that, you know what, in order to do a good Civil War series, we're going to need Spider-Man and screw Fox because we can't get Spider-Man, we can't get this and that. And, I mean, or screw Sony. And then, I mean, look, we got Spider-Man now, so who's to say that Fox won't cave in within the next few years? And
I really hope. Like, I really hope. Just to open up that little bit extra, you know, like,
just everyone don't go see X-Men Apocalypse.
That's gonna do fine. Because think about whenever, like, you were like, oh, 2021 is going to suck.
Yeah.
What if Marvel was like, well, we already got Planet Hulk. That's cool. He'll go off. He'll do his Planet Hulk thing. But then, you know, the next thing after that, World War Hulk. We need the Marvel Universe to be under Marvel for that.
And that's something that could happen maybe even a little bit sooner. I don't know if you guys noticed, but like when Bruce was taken off or when the Hulk was in the Quinjet and he was taken off, he turned off the little monitor where Black Widow was at. The first place he looked when he was flying away was up. Instead of
it's not going anywhere.
Well, no, I know
he's
that, but
send himself to Planet Hulk.
Well, I mean, but maybe he's because I mean he's talked about it. I mean, where he said when he was talking to Natasha Romanoff, he said, "Where else can I go? Where do I have left to go?"
Yeah, that's true.
I can see that.
That's a good point.
What if he exiled himself so they don't need the Illuminati?
Yeah,
he says I'm going to send myself to space or something like that. So he does. He misses out on the Infinity Wars. Because they do a Planet Hulk movie.
Who's their big guns then in Infinity Wars?
You got Thor. You don't need anybody else.
Then you got Vision.
Well, I don't know how you're going to do that then, because, because in the original Infinity Gauntlet series, Drax was one of their big guns, but they've kind of since nerfed his powers down.
And then after the Infinity Wars are over, Hulk comes back and he's pissed.
What the hell, guys?
Pissed at who?
Why did you guys let
me
go?
Why did you call me?
Why didn't you come back?
Didn't
for
two movies? Two movies
and I'm not in it? I missed two?
Nobody texted me while I was gone.
For the next one, I want to see more of a development of Hulk, not Bruce Banner. I want to see...
You want to see Hulk like have conscious thoughts.
Yes.
You're talking about like Grey Hulk here or something.
No. Just give me a straight Hulk that starts to think and, you know...
Marvel's clearly become a movie company. I think comics and everything else almost feels secondary at this point. The reason I feel like that is apparent is because the way they're canceling Fantastic Four.
Well, that's just strikes against everybody else.
Well, I know, but it's to protect an attempt to get the movie license back. So for them to put a comic that's a legendary comic for them, like Fantastic Four, and just say we're not going to make anymore, just in hopes to try and get that movie franchise back. That's a lot of commitment, and they're doing that with not just that. Aren't they killing off Deadpool now?
They've already killed off Deadpool.
The comic series is done.
They're ending a lot of comic book series because they're going to reboot the universe soon.
Mm. Yeah, they're supposed to be.
It's already in war right now with the Ultimate and
the Secret Wars.
In the 616,
Secret Wars is going on. Yeah. Rage of Ultron's going on. Yes. I think I read that they're ending like 30 individual titles.
Wow,
are going to end.
What are you looking forward to in the future of the Marvel movie universe, Eddie? From this, basically, from what you picked up here.
I mean,
there's only one right answer.
I know what you're going to say.
Black Panther.
I have to say, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet, the one and two. I mean, because of the direction. I mean. They even called it out in the movie that someone's toying with us and playing with us and, you know, getting all these. Because
Thor knows what's going down.
Yeah, Thor is the one who's telling them, you know what, this is the fourth Infinity Gem or Infinity Stone that's popped up in the last few years. And which is odd because it's been like 15 years over the whole course of span of time for Marvel Universe, but he said the last few years.
But it's not real time.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It is real time. All these movies are in real time.
That's real time, yeah. Well, they age very well.
Exactly. But, okay. I mean, to put it all together and to think, you know what, something bigger has been going on that nobody really kind of caught on. Leading up to that, I'm excited to see what it's all going to, you know, climax to.
And since we're on a spoiler rampage, the last part of the movie, the mid-credit.
Your B team?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? No. Sorry. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that one.
The mid-credit things with Thanos grabbing the actual gauntlet with no crystals in it and gems and saying, like, all right, I just got to go do shit myself.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah.
I'm definitely excited for the Infinity Gauntlet because Thanos is one of my favorites. But I think that this movie actually got me much more excited right now for Captain America.
That's where I was going.
Because the Avengers, he's got the Avengers Institute going right now.
Yeah.
He's building like multiple Avengers teams.
So just like in the comics, there's the new Avengers. So this was the one in New York. There's probably going to be one, the West Coast Avengers.
The Great Lakes Avengers. Oh my gosh. If they put Squirrel Girl in, that'd be great.
The Great Lakes Avengers. I thought we could forget about that group.
You can't forget about them. I think Deadpool bring
those,
on the team.
I think you're going to bring those Canadian Avengers in there too. The ones with the big
Alpha
Yeti.
Flight.
Yeah.
So, the Captain America is a Civil War, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Civil War is going to be so good. My personal favorite part of the entire movie, and I don't know why I'm always surprised this happens, but Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man, he steals the show.
Yeah.
Any scene he's in, he just grabs it and makes it his. Like, he's so friggin' funny. And seeing the two, whatever scenes that he shared with Captain America, it's boiling.
Yeah.
Like, it happened in when they were, they actually had like an Avengers among themselves little fight scene that got interrupted a little early by the Vision. And then there was when they were chopping the wood. And then at the very end, that kind of awkward goodbye that they had before he jumps into his car.
That fight scene seemed too easy.
Which one?
Over the Vision.
Oh, yeah.
Because like he just straight blasts Captain like without even hesitation.
Yeah, it was like before.
That's how much he believed in the Vision thing.
But like all of them just kind of jumped the gun. Thor flies back after, you know, Ultron is released. instantly starts choking Tony. Like, really? Like, not a, we haven't built up any type of, you know, hey.
Not everybody's Aaron Carter, though. They don't always use their words. Cool. Some people are more aggressive.
I mean, think about the fight scene that happened. And then Thor flies off to try and catch the Legion. And he comes back. He's pissed. He just flew across the world trying to catch these metal guys.
And
that is Tony Stark.
You're in a piss. You're in a rage. Hurting your partner is going to...
See, that's why we're not all Aaron
Carter.
Okay,
Carters. But think about it.
We're not all calm, cool, and collected.
It is Thor. He's an Asgardian god. If he wanted to hurt Tony, he would have. But he didn't. He just made a point.
So if you want to be like, oh, he's an Asgardian, he's hot-headed because it's all about war with his people, but yet he can still figure out, hey, we're being toyed with because they've collected these gems.
No, that was after he had the visions, after he went into the pool.
Yeah.
The visions I thought were more towards Ragnarok, right?
No,
they were connected.
But it was connected.
It was when he went into that pool that he kind of gathered.
What's the pool from? Did I miss something?
I've never seen that.
Or did
pool
they just
in the comics,
introduce a pool,
like pool of sides or something to that effect?
I thought it was like from Thor 2 because I never saw Thor 2.
No, it wasn't in Thor 2. It's just one of those like Norse mythology things that Dr. Selvig knew about. That's kind of how they played it off in the movie. Yeah.
They didn't really go into.
But that's where he saw the Infinity Gem, and he went to go. He realized that, this is a good thing to have on our side rather than on the other side.
So, moving to that last scene again with the new Avengers, looks like we have a lineup, at least. So, we have Scarlet Witch.
Who looked totally different.
Hot.
She's showing way too much cleavage. It's just like, why?
Come on, have you ever seen the Scarlet Witch?
But like,
it's called fan service.
These movies are a little more realistic.
Yeah, it's called fan service.
Using air quotes here.
I think part of it was the angle because they came at her from like
the perfect angle. Underneath. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it just kind of made.
Oh, before we get to that, hold on. One last thing. That extra should have had her name right up next to Robert Downey Jr. in the credits. Yep. There's this lady extra. On the floating. You know, the whole end finale scene where the Earth is like lifted up. That extra with the giant boobs whose kid got lost.
Oh.
She was like, and she moved around. She must have had Quicksilver's powers because she was everywhere that the Avengers were.
That is true. She's behind
glass.
They should have killed her.
That's got to be like Joss Whedon's like side piece or something. And he was like, I'll take you places.
Because she was in the trailer. She was in like one of the trailers.
Was she even in the trailer?
Yeah, she was in one of the trailers because I watched the little rewind with IGN. And they were like, they don't just show this. You know, they don't just show these people for no reason. They did a long shot on her.
They gave her a lot of film.
That's what they
time.
Said on IGN, yeah.
She better be Ms. Marvel or something.
And just like with the Avengers, with the extended scenes with the pieces where they added on in the Blu-ray and the DVD copy, that girl that Captain America saves, how she had
had a whole thing, like dialogue and everything.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's going to be additional parts in the extended scene because Joss Whedon had said in an interview that he had to cut about 30 minutes out of the movie.
Mm. Yeah.
So when the extended DVD or Blu-ray comes out, I'm pretty sure...
He's got a thing for those like damsels that are just random with the giant knockers just always in the wrong spot. It's terrible. But new Avengers. So we got the Vision. We had Scarlet Witch. Obviously, they're going to hook up. We got
War Machine
showed up. Falcon. Pretty diverse group we got here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
pretty awesome.
Still the B team, though.
Got a black guy, Russian girl,
two black
android.
Guys.
Two black guys. A robot who's going to get freaky with a Russian girl.
So the question is, if they actually kill Cap, who's going to take his place?
Can it be Falcon?
It's either going to be...
It could be Falcon
it's gotta
or it
be,
could be Bucky.
It's going to be Bucky, I think.
Oh, yeah, they'll make Bucky. Yeah. I forgot all about that, yeah.
I think he signed a major film contract, if I'm not mistaken, with Marvel.
The guy who plays Bucky?
The guy who played, Winter Soldier.
So, I would.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be him, because what is he going to do? He might show up in the Civil War movie. That's one. And if he's going to be in anything past that, it's going to be his Cap, I think.
Probably.
But, how do you think this ties in, like, to Daredevil and Luke Cage?
I don't see
I
it
think
now.
It does at
it's,
all.
It's all bigger than those guys.
You don't
now.
Think they'll play any kind of part? Because Luke Cage, doesn't he run the West Coast Avengers for a period?
Later on, yes.
Later on. So, I mean, there's room for these guys.
If they
I think
squeeze
that
the things
they need
out.
To do first, though, is build up the Defenders as a team.
Yes.
Because, like, the Defenders build a name for themselves before they really get recognition from the Avengers.
Yeah.
So Iron Fist.
So if they squeeze
out
these Netflix
Cage, Daredevil,
things quickly.
Jessica Jones.
Yeah, that's. I mean, mostly the Defenders is kind of like Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Yeah.
That's most of it.
Heroes for Hire, guys.
Yeah.
Kind of like Video Game Bang.
There you go.
Wow.
Not to mention they spent
spit
like...
spit on all you guys' faces and you guys sit there and take it. Wow, guys.
That's because I'm the Hulk. Wow.
Yeah, and not to mention they only spent like, what, maybe all of 20 minutes in New York?
Yeah.
They didn't spend a lot of time in New York, so there wasn't really a lot of time to really reference anything that was nearby.
And
like,
I don't know how...
Hell's Kitchen.
I mean, how would they have... I mean, would you see like a flying red thing flipping around on top of the buildings in the distance?
I don't know. I would like to see Daredevil knock out one of those Ultrons.
What was the after scene credits in the Avenger?
The first one?
Yeah.
The after scene credits.
That's the one
was
where
when...
Thanos turns around in the chair, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Turns halfway. Half turn.
And you see his smile.
So nothing really.
No.
Yeah.
That character's building quite nicely. I don't know.
No, he's fine. They're going to do him
well.
Quite
a bit of you really get a feel for who he is in Guardians too.
Yeah.
And I'm very pleased how they did him in Guardians. Like, I thought you were going to get another half turn.
No.
Yeah,
no, it's
a
full on
scene and I like
it.
Yeah.
Are you guys okay with who they casted as the voice of Thanos?
I have no issues with it.
Josh Brolin?
Yeah, I thought he was like in the makeup and everything.
Oh, is he?
I haven't had issues with it yet.
Sword.
I don't know.
He's
all through
it. I
don't think there's been enough of him to have issues with it.
Yeah, there's not enough for me to judge really yet.
I think little things, like little keywords that he says when he... I was talking to the guy that was next to me, the other Corey, and I was telling him the only problem I have is Josh Brolin just really doesn't fit the bill for me as... Thanos.
Maybe
because
you're thinking of him as Josh Brolin. I don't think of him as
and
that.
And that could be it, because, I mean, I've seen him in, like, No Country for Old Men, and I've seen him in, you know, I mean, all the way to, what do you call it, The Goonies, when he was in The Goonies. Oh,
who would you have rather had? Fantasy casting here.
Fantasy casting? What's that guy's name? The dude from Tombstone. Sam
Val Kilmer?
Sam Elliott.
Oh, no! He could try and sell you a Dodge and a Budweiser?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
That's the Texas in me speaking there.
Yeah, it is.
Thanos would have had a cowboy hat and everything.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so clearly the show's been going on too long. We spoiled just about everything for you guys. We're going to go around round robin one more time. We're going to do our final reactions. Out of 5 bangs, how many do you give it, Aaron? And you can give a quick description on why.
I say...
be honest.
3.9.
3.9.
Yeah.
So we're rounding to 4. I'm rounding for you.
You can round yourself.
Aaron gave it a 4.
But it's so close to being awesome. I don't know. It's just there's too many...
Joss Whedonisms.
Yeah. There's definitely... He like... And it makes me feel like, okay, I know I'm going to direct this, and then I'm probably not going to be back for another one, so let me put my stank on it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Have any of the Avengers films said a Joss Whedon film on them like this one did? Joss Whedon.
Did you watch Buffy?
No.
Did you watch Buffy. Angel?
But but
I promise, if you watch those, you'll be like, "Oh, I see what
he's
saying."
No, but no, it actually said that.
It said that on there on this one.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Let me put my stank on it.
It said a Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me put my stank on it. That's exactly what he did.
That's like a Spike Lee joint.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is. Yeah. And that kind of Buffy fight.
Self-indulgent.
For me, yeah, like,
you think it was a little self-indulgent?
To me, it felt like you put your style before the movie.
Yeah.
Instead of the movie before your style.
Okay. So we got a 3.9 out of 5 bangs from Aaron Carter. David Webb.
I'm going to say it'd have to be like between a 4 and a 4.5.
Got to stick to one.
Okay. 4.25.
4.25 bangs. Yeah. You guys really want to be difficult on this.
No, I think it was good. I didn't watch enough. I mean, I think I've seen maybe one episode of Buffy, a couple episodes of Angel. So I'm not jaded like Aaron and
You're not Jada like Aaron?
I'm not Jada like Aaron. And I don't have a problem with Joss Whedon's style. I mean, like we were talking about before we started recording the show, one of his signatures is having the more of a comedic, lighthearted, personal bad guy, like a villain. Like he's never just straight
morally
bad.
Conflicted.
Morally conflicted. And I don't mind that because, and I think David's going to, you know, he said the same thing I'm going to, is I don't like my bad guys just being like, oh, I'm just going to kill you because, well, I'm a bad guy. Like he had, there's depth to it, you know, and there's humor and there's stuff that it was good. I liked it.
All right. David Ng.
I'm going to go 4.5.
4.5, the highest rating so far.
There's a lot of extra Hulk screen time, which I love. The fight scene with Hulk and Iron Man is just great.
I'd say if you could isolate that and it was a movie, 5 out of 5.
Definitely. Definitely.
Mm. Good Lord, that was so good.
Yeah.
Dick move banner. That made it. I mean, that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was great. And then they still they made Ultron a little more human. So he's a little more approachable than just like, I'm going to kill you all because you're human and organic and not efficient. And I thought that it was done pretty well. I mean, there's limitations because there's just limitations on how long a movie is and how much you can fit into it.
Mm-hmm. What would have made it a 5 for you?
Gosh.
That is a good question.
There's so much.
Aaron, we all know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if you're listening to this, right away, Saturday on the weekend bang, Aaron will go into depth.
Because there's too much. There's too much to make it a perfect movie. That's why I'd just be like...
That's what I would say, is I would say that it couldn't be a full 5 because for it to be a full 5...
It'd have to be a full 5 hours.
Yeah. Because like, you have to add so much in. Yeah, you have to... You know, expand on everything.
Okay. So when Infinity Wars 1 and 2 come out and we watch them back to back, that'll be the 5.
There you go.
And I'll probably tell you this now. I'm probably not going to go to the theater and watch those.
Don't worry, I'll watch them for you.
No. Yeah. I want to watch them back to back, but not in theater.
Eddie Villanueva, what do you think? Out of 5 bangs, we got a 3.9 from Aaron Carter. David Webb gave it a 4.25. David Ng leads the pack with a 4.5.
And a quarter.
I'm kind of leaning with Aaron's thought process, but I'd probably give it like a 4.1.
Mine was 4.25. Yours is just some random fraction.
Okay, 4 1/10. How's that? There you go.
There you go. Boom.
Just because I saw the
Buffy.
Is
that 4.1?
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Said differently?
Exactly. That's all it was.
Okay.
Just because, like Aaron said, I saw the Buffy series. I saw the Angel series, even Firefly.
Yes.
Lot of it had a lot of the key things that Joss Whedon just does when he's in his mindset of creating a Joss Whedon piece of work. And with this one, you kind of got to be a little bit more global thinking as far as the whole Marvel universe before you put your own kind of thing to it. And
Joss wrote Serenity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys watch Serenity?
Yeah.
There's a prime example of a main bad guy that didn't have to be goofy and funny.
Oh yeah,
but was very in depth.
The
black dude,
the
right?
The assassin guy.
But prime example. You gotta remember, this is a Disney Marvel movie.
I'll bump all that.
Kids that are gonna be seen.
Oh, and then we start the movie with a curse word. That's what we do. Don't give me that bull.
No, I'm saying there has to be some sort of humor to it. They're not gonna understand just pure death and destruction for the sake
capable.
Of pure death and destruction.
But no, it didn't have to be.
Wasn't Ronan that type of character though?
Well.
But that wasn't a Joss Whedon film, but it's still in the same universe.
Yeah, so there
that's
you go.
True. Okay,
so
all right.
I think he just fell back on that, the mayor, freaking, whoever that, Abel, or not Abel, but whatever, the guy who from Serenity, who's the main character?
You talking about Malcolm?
Malcolm, but he played a bad guy in Buffy.
Yeah.
And he was still that jokey type of bad guy, like he, and that's what I felt. I was watching one of those bad guys when I saw Ultron.
Yeah,
It's not bad, but it's just like kind of,
Just overall for me, it was a good movie. It was a really well done movie. It was a really well thought out, well scripted. Just had a little bit too much of that Joss Whedon watermark over the film while I was watching it. So. That's
all right. Well, of course, you guys are going to go out to the films and make your own decisions.
What was your rating?
Yeah.
Oh, my rating. Put me
it's
on
like
the spot.
A point.
I was enjoying your guys' talking. I'd give it a 1.
A 1?
No.
I'd
give it a 4. A solid 4.
Solid 4.
Yeah.
Going a nice round figure there.
I'd go round figure. I think if trying to rate and think back to Avengers 1, I'd say it was a 4.5. I just really liked Avengers 1 better than this one.
Yeah.
I didn't like the villain as much. I think...
Oh my god, why can't I remember the villain in part 1?
Loki
and the Chitauri?
Good lord. really just is like, who was the villain in part 1?
I think
Shield.
There was. I think the action in this one was better.
Yeah,
the action scenes were definitely better.
Yeah,
Hulk, like I said, Hulkbuster versus Hulk scene, a 5 out of 5. The best fight scene in any Marvel film so far. I just think, while I liked James Spader as Ultron, I thought he was just too campy a little bit. I was hoping he'd be a little more serious.
I don't think that was his fault.
I didn't want the jokes from Ultron to be like I'm making a joke type of funny. I was hoping it'd be more like funny in the sense
like the ironic kind of funny.
Like when he cut his arm off. I wanted more of that kind of humor than like him making quips. Yeah. But they kind of justified it because he's
Tony.
Yeah, he's Tony Stark, kind of.
Yeah,
an offshoot. So like they had the same jokes. Like that was another big joke in the film, in the movie, when
Ant-Man even tie in then now.
Oh yeah, Ant-Man.
He's like, I have anything to do with Ultron anymore.
Well, not Ultron, but I'm saying just like in the Marvel universe. Like,
I don't know.
Questions for a later date. Yes, a solid 4 for me. So that's what it is, people. Video Game Bang spoiled the crap out of the Avengers. If you were watching this, you haven't seen it yet, it's worth going to the movies to see, I think.
Oh, for sure.
If you heard this and you haven't seen it, you ultimately have seen it.
Yeah.
Because you've heard everything about the movie from us.
Go watch it.
I'll be going again to see it.
I'll go see it, too. I think I'll go see it in the IMAX.
Yes.
We actually have a couple friends who actually went tonight to go see it.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't good enough to watch twice for me.
Okay.
Not in theater, at least.
There it is, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on this very last minute quickies edition of the Video Game Bang podcast. I want to thank Aaron for being here so late. He's got to be up to work in, 4 hours? We got David Webb, everyone.
No, Yondo has to be working for hours.
Oh, David's
got to
be working for us. Good. Geez.
I got a little extra time.
Good gravy. Well, that's the whole banana, everybody. You heard it all.
The whole banana.
Anybody have anything they'd like to say before we end this puppy?
Penis.
Go see it.
Of course. Go
see
it.
Not the penis. The penis. Go see the movie.
You might the penis. Go see it.
The penis. Go see it.
Editing Corey. Fix that.
I'll get right on that. All right, everybody. For Aaron Carter, David Webb, David Ng, Eddie
Eddie Vanilla Ice Cream.
Eddie Vanilla Ice Cream.
There you go.
My name is Corey Vincent, and we will see you this weekend on Saturday night for the Video Game Bang Live. All right.
Peace.
Don't be douchebags.